If you have your Bibles, turning with me to the book of Galatians, and we're going to go Galatians chapter 5. Going to read from the 16th verse, and then we're going to skip down to the 22nd verse. And the scripture says about walking in the Spirit. So if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And Galatians 5 and 16, when you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say the fruit.
The fruit
is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to be talking about gentleness, goodness, and faith tonight. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I just was thinking this evening again as I was in the office about the 55 children that were in Sunday school and our youth on Sunday morning. It's just exciting. But all those that were here, and to God be the glory for that. Amen. But always in season, the fruit of the Spirit should always be in season. Paul is writing to the churches that are in Galatia. Galatia is not a city. It is not a town. It is an area of modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor. So he's writing to the churches that are in the region of Galatia. Basically, in modern-day terms, he's writing to the churches in the Central Coast, is what he would be saying. So he would be writing to the churches in one letter. He's writing this letter, six chapters, and he's telling them about the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, he starts off in Galatians chapter one, telling about all the brethren or all the saints that are in Galatia. So he's writing to them. It was intended that this letter would be circulated around to the other churches, that they are dealing with the same stuff. And so he writes and he tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. And there's things that should always be manifested in our life, and that is what he was referring to. If we know and we read the scripture that we're not under dominion of sin. Sin does not have dominion on us. We've been set free. We're overcomers. If you're filled with the Spirit, you baptize in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean that you can't sin, but it means that sin does not have dominion over you. And so Galatians 5 teaches us that the works of the flesh produces fruit of the flesh. And some of the fruit of the flesh, Paul writes in the preceding verses, he talks about envy and fornication, fighting, idolatry, murder, jealousy, drunkenness. And we know people that have those attributes, right? In fact, Paul writes, and I believe it's in Corinthians, he says, and such were some of you. And but we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been blessed. And but we need to be emulating Jesus Christ 24/7. We are His ambassadors. And the scripture tells us in John 14 and 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we have one fruit, but nine attributes, characteristics, or qualities. And those qualities are what we've been talking about. And so many times we say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty comfortable with my walk with God. God is not desiring us to be comfortable.
Amen.
He wants us to grow. Growth is not comfortable. Growth takes you out of your comfort zone. Growth hurts. There's pruning that takes place in growth. Some of us need to prune some things out of our lives, and that's a whole other message or sermon. But the fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. You say, well, I've had the Holy Ghost a long time, and I don't have that. Well, that's a problem. I'm preaching to you.
Come on.
Well, I just got in the church. Well, that's good because I'm preaching to you too. I'm preaching to myself. This grows and develops with time. The longer you're in it and the longer you're walking with God with a true, authentic relationship, you're being a doer, not just a hearer, you'll begin to manifest more and more of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you plant a tree today, it doesn't start bearing fruit next week.
No.
It takes time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so, I've read this all every week for the last 3 weeks, and so with my lesson, I'm going to read it again. Romans 6 and 20 through 22 says, "For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed?" So what kind of fruit did you bear when you were in sin? See, some of us are still paying off some of the debt from some of the sins that some of the fruit from sin. Your credit score is proof of that. Your probation's proof of that. Well, come on, somebody. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Somebody say amen. And I would reference John 15. I talked about that several weeks ago, but about abiding, kind of just something to read on. But we need to prune some of the old, dead, dry branches or areas in our lives in order to grow. You and I don't need to be around folks that are not conducive to your spiritual walk with God.
Right.
Well, come on, somebody. If they, people, places, and things are going to tempt you, they're going to mock you, they're going to discourage you. They're going to get you to compromise, or you need to move over here, or they're going to get you to lose your cool, or you find yourself loosening up on your holiness or pushing the envelope on things, or you start questioning your walk with God. You start reconsidering your ministry involvement or how faithful you are to God, your church, and your family. That's not going to help you stay rooted. It's not going to help you grow. It's not going to help you bear fruit. And you're definitely not going to thrive because you're going to be stuck in the batter's box the entire time. And before you know, you're going to take your bat and you're going to walk back to the dugout, sit on the bench, and be a spectator. And that is not the will of God.
Come on.
Well,
that's good.
God is interested in every part of our life.
Amen.
Of us bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Point one, a fruitful Christian has gentleness or kindness. When we talk about gentleness, it's kindness. Gentleness means you're kind. It connotates generosity. It's amiable. It's not severe. It's not rough. It's not violent. It's mild with intention. It's moderate. It's easily handled or managed. It's polite. Gentleness means that you're tame. Gentleness does not mean you're weak. James says in James 3:17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable," oh, look at that word, "gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and bad fruit, without partiality." Full of mercy and good fruits. You shall know them by what they say, right? You shall know them by their fruit. See, a lot of people want to be say, "Well, I'm this and I'm that," and they have nothing to show for it. When you are walking in the Spirit and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You don't need to go around telling everybody you're a Christian because they'll see it. They'll know it. They can smell it. They'll taste it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They'll be able to see your gentleness, your kindness. Kindness means having or showing benevolence, desire to do good to others. It's an act of kindness. You're considerate. Brother Andrew, you're humane. You're careful. You're soft and calm to others. It involves humility and thankfulness towards God, and you're restrained with your behavior toward others. That's kindness.
Yes.
Notice this. Let me tell you what kindness is not. How about that? The opposite of gentleness are anger, a desire for revenge, and self-aggrandizement. That means that you're trying to portray yourself as something that you are when you're not. You ever go somewhere and somebody acts like they're the manager, the owner of the store? You're like, oh. And you're like, Let me speak. Yeah, aren't you the manager? Oh, no, I'm not the... Well, you sure are acting and talking like you're the manager. Go back and stock those shelves. Let me talk to the lady in charge. Some of you didn't get that. Sister Lori knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Right, Brother Phil? Amen. Gentleness. Notice this. You're intentionally not looking to create a stir, create a scene, create an argument, lose your cool. Well, some folks are just waiting to lose their cool.
Come on.
You're intentionally not looking to be brash. You're not headstrong. You consider others. In fact, Titus 3:2 says, "Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle." Showing all meekness unto all men, Brother Nate. Doesn't mean that you don't hold people accountable and you can't be stern. It's not what that does. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're not honking your horn and screaming and throwing the phone and parking in their spot because they blocked you in. It doesn't mean that you knock over their garbage cans. That's not gentleness. It's not a way a Christian ought to act. Come on, somebody. Hopefully that was the old you.
Yeah. Right.
Gentleness is a tender, compassionate approach toward others, understanding that they have weaknesses and limitations too. It's not very tolerable in our modern times, right? We don't have a high tolerance for folks with limitations and weaknesses because we forget that we have limitations and weaknesses too. But we're really good at taking a microscope, and I've used this analogy before, and looking at everyone else. Well, they fell short, and they didn't do this, and they didn't say this, and they didn't act like that, and they forgot, and this, that, and the other. But what about us?
Right.
We tend to find someone else that can do it, rather than giving folks some time and some training and some help and a helping hand. You don't kick somebody when they're down.
No.
You help them up. That's what gentleness is all about. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. If you got the gentleness with you, you're going to help them. A gentle person speaks the truth in love. It's okay to give feedback, but you do it with gentleness, not destroying their integrity or publicly humiliating them.
Amen.
Gentleness is kind. Gentleness is if you got to correct somebody, you take them aside and you correct them where it's one-on-one. Or you need a witness, you bring a witness, but you don't get up on the PA system and say, "Hey, attention, everybody. They dropped the ball again for the 20th time." That's not gentleness. What if God did that to you? What if God said, "Hey, as an example, where's Brother Bonham? I'm going to use Brother Bonham tonight. I used Brother Drozic last time. Brother Bonham dropped the ball. This is an example. He closed his finger in the door and he said some choice words he shouldn't have said. What if the Lord walked around and said, "Yeah, he did that. That's him again." Or Sister Savannah, as an example. She didn't pay her tithes. As an example, nobody get offended. Please don't get offended. What if the Lord walked around and did that to us? But he doesn't. He's gentle with us. He's kind. Right? What if God treated us the way we treat other people? The fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, He forgives us. He's merciful. He's kind. He gives us all multiple chances over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Amen.
Oh, we're all going to pay a price sooner or later if we don't stay on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
There's two choices, heaven or hell. Well done, that good and faithful servant, or depart ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you. Psalm 44:21 says, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. Notice this. Gentleness means that guys or ladies, we understand that not everyone is mechanically inclined. Not everyone knows how to change a tire, shoot a gun, use a PowerPoint, make tortillas, play an instrument like you, remember the formula for Excel, or is creative. We all have limitations.
Yeah.
We all have weaknesses. Preach it Sunday morning. There's no throwaways. Somebody ought to be thankful.
Amen.
It's not your job to always have something to say.
Exactly.
Well, I just provide constructive criticism. Key word, criticism. Well, things aren't always as bad as it seems. Neither is it always as good as it looks.
Right.
Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, if you're taking notes, write this verse down. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rested in the bosom of fools. Well, it's remembering we all have limitations, but are compassionate one with another. Do you have limitations? Do you always get it right? Does the boss have to remind you about stuff? Do you forget? Do you drop the ball? Have you ever been publicly humiliated? How does that make you feel? Have you ever misspoke? Have you tried something and not worked out?
Yeah.
We're people. We've got to let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested, the characteristics in our lives. Matthew 12 and 37, another powerful verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by your neighbor's words that you're going to be condemned. By thy words ye shall be condemned. Point two, a fruitful Christian has goodness. When we're referring to fruit, it's substance. It's the beneficial results. You plant a tree and 5 years later there's no fruit. There's something wrong. You're probably going to reevaluate the process of the tree. If you're like me, you're probably going to rip it out and move it somewhere else, put it in a pot, start all over again. As the Holy Ghost works in our lives, our character should be changing, and we should have these characteristics or attributes or qualities in our lives.
Yeah.
That's why, case in point, you can take someone that's been in church 50 years and they truly have the fruit of the Spirit, and you're like, man, every time I'm around them, I just leave and I feel much better, or I feel more joy, or they're so kind. They instructed me. They gave me the riot act, but they did it with love. You know, they slapped my hand, and yeah, as they would say in some churches, I'm on preba, but man, I understand. I get it. That's because it's the fruit of the Spirit. There's qualities. They understand that the Holy Ghost is working in their lives. A fruitful Christian has goodness. Goodness is moral excellence. Excellence of quality, satisfactory in quality. Goodness is love in action. Something done or performed with intention. This should always be in season. In fact, this also would be related to holiness or virtue in action. When you break down the word goodness in the Greek, it's defined as uprightness of heart and the life. And so this gives whole different meaning to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 when it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means if it appears to be evil, stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't say, well, I need to sit here and watch it and verify that it's evil. if it appears to be evil, well, come on, somebody. Well, I just need to, Pastor, you say it all the time, trust but verify. Yeah. This is saying abstain from all appearances of evil. That means stay away from it. If it even appears to be evil, don't touch it, don't taste it, don't handle it. If it appears to be evil, stay away from it. That's not good. It doesn't say, well, I watched halfway through it, and man, it definitely is rated R. Yeah, I could have told you, you shouldn't even bought the thing. You should have canceled it. You should have sent it back. You shouldn't be watching that anyways. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I don't need to put my hand in the fire to know it's hot. I can see what it's doing to the wood. Come on, somebody. Well, goodness means we stand up for what is right.
Amen.
We don't let evil prevail. We don't compromise or give in to wickedness. Evil produces evil.
Yes, it does.
Bad produces bad. Sin produces sin. And sin, when it is done, produceth death. That's what happens. But the gift of God is eternal life and salvation. That's goodness. That's goodness. Goodness is we don't cut corners on the job, school. Goodness is we don't cut corners in our marriage, in our finances. We don't cut corners in our faithfulness to God. And I'll get that in a minute. We don't cut corners and doing things half-heartedly or do it grudgingly.
Right.
That's not goodness. That's not goodness. Let's walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
And we're not gonna, we're gonna sow in the Spirit. We reap what we sow. You want good things to happen? Sow good seed.
Yeah.
Scripture says you reap what you sow. James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Goodness is morally right. Notice this. Goodness is not. Well, there isn't really a policy for it. I didn't see it in writing. Nobody said anything. They get to get away with it. It's not hurting nobody. It's victimless. That's not goodness. Well, they can find someone else to do it. Rules are meant to be broken. That's not goodness. Well, I've been doing it for years. I'm grandfathered in. That's not goodness. It's okay. The boss is gone. He's going to be gone for 5 days. It's all good. Pastor's out of town. I'm not going to church.
Uh-oh.
Well,
uh-oh.
As Uncle Ronnie would say, I'm going to drop my anchor here real quick. I sure hope you're not coming to church because of me. I'm not that good of a preacher, leader, or Bible study teacher. I can die when this is all over. Follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, somebody. I know we like certain preachers and certain churches and certain events and conferences, etc. But those are events. That doesn't define who you are. That is not going to guarantee you getting into heaven. Wednesday night Bible study will help you get to heaven. But you take what you get on Wednesday night, you got to do something with it on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Monday and Tuesday. And you got to do it all over again. Paul says, I die daily. Sure, I want there to be a full house like there was Sunday morning. Sure, I want there to be standing room only like there's been several times this year. But guess what? I want us to get to heaven. Do you know, Sister Kendrick, there's going to be people that go to church 3 times a week and they're not going to get to heaven. You know, there's people that go to church 1 time a week and they're going to be in heaven. You're going to be surprised who's in heaven and who's not. Come on, somebody. Always in season. Goodness is always in season. Notice this. Goodness is not, it's my money, my home. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's not goodness. And remember, none of that is yours anyways.
Nope.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And if that's your attitude, I don't even empathize with you. In fact, if that's your attitude and mindset, I'm going to blow it up with one scripture. If you're taking notes, write this down. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, to him it is sin. Let that settle for a moment. If you know to do good and you don't do good, it's sin. That falls under the category of sins of omission. Goodness. The perpetual desire and sincere study not to only abstain from evil appearance, but to do good to the bodies and to the souls of men to the utmost of our ability. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. But this relates to us, and according to the fruit of his doings. So what kind of fruit are we producing in our life? Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. How do you know if a policeman's a policeman? He don't have to be in a uniform. It's the authority of the badge. When I was in my career, my name tag, I was district manager, I was a regional manager, and I purposely had on my name tag just my first name. That's it. I didn't have to have district manager, 43 direct employees, managing $250 million. I didn't have to have that. Didn't need that. Just had my name. I could make decisions. I could walk around, do things, say things, change things, shut the store down, send people to jail. I could do all that stuff. But you know what? I didn't have to walk around and tell everybody, hey, look at me. I'm the boss's boss in this building. I'm the boss's boss's boss. Four levels down. No. That's a bunch of, nobody wants anybody like that. That's ridiculous. It's just a position. Gone to the bigger the title, probably least important you are. CEO, he only got three letters in his title. CEO. We don't got to walk around telling everybody, oh, I'm a Christian. Look at me. I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, act like a Christian. The gifts of the Spirit will be manifested in your life. People will be able to say something different about that man or that lady. Because they're kind and their goodness and their joy and the love. Because they're faithful. Examples of goodness. Be a doer of the word. Huge. James 1:22. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Obedience, stewardship, faithfulness. Examples of goodness. Serving one another. A brother or sister in the church is in need. They literally are starving and are thirsty. And you have the means to help them. Goodness will help them. Let me give you some examples of goodness. Monday night shelter feed. Some go, some give. But everybody's a part of it. That's an example of goodness. Marion Extended Care. The prison ministry. RT Sock Drive. Life in Focus. The Puerto Rico Project. Those are examples of goodness. Visiting the backsliders. Calling them. Visiting folks in the hospital. Calling on, checking on one another. Especially if they've been MIA or they're sick. Notice this. Romans 15 and 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Some people are so full of the devil and animosity and trouble and themselves. They need a whole new dose of the Holy Ghost so they can be filled with goodness. Amen. Lord, you are good. Yes. Scripture doesn't say, Lord, you're bad. Lord, you're terrible. Lord, you're good. We want to be like Jesus. We got to demonstrate some goodness. Amen. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Amen.
If we're going to help anybody, if we're going to take care of anybody, if we're going to be good to anybody,
Amen.
It ought to be those of the household of faith. Love in action is what goodness is. It's buying somebody medicine or taking them soup when they're sick. That's goodness. Not just talking about, well, somebody ought to, man, check on them. Why not? What's wrong with your phone? Pastor, Brother Drozing, Brother Bonham, I'm going to go visit them in the hospital. Hello? You can go visit them in the hospital too. You can go say hi and send them a card and call them too.
Amen.
Well, goodness. Anybody want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
Be a doer of the word of the Lord. Picking up the neighbor's trash or the trash can when they're obviously out of town. Goodness. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. But if anyone has this world's good, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Let's not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and truth. That means in practice and sincerity. This type of fruit should always be in season. See, a lot of times I see as a whole in society, we're real good with this during Thanksgiving time and Christmas time. But this ought to be, this fruit's in season all the time. At least it should be.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It's called being a Christian and letting the fruit be manifested in our life. Psalms 23 and 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many of you want goodness to follow you? Do you want mercy to follow you?
Amen.
You reap what you sow.
Do
unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Luke 6:31. I'm going to start point three. I won't finish it, and I'll pick it up when I teach again. But a fruitful Christian has faith. when we talk of faith in this standpoint, it's in its intention, or that when you break the word down, it means trustworthiness or reliability. It's where we get the word fidelity. When you look at fidelity, it means faithfulness. Turn to your neighbor and say, faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Kind of give him the stink eye, you know. Faithfulness. It means strict observance of promises and duties. Faithfulness, loyalty, accuracy, faithfulness, allegiance, faithfulness, devotion, dependability. That's what faithfulness is. The early church was faithful. So many examples in the scripture. Colossians 1 and 2. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. Church in Colossae was faithful. How many of you, when you woke up this morning, if you woke up after 6 o'clock in the morning, the sun was shining? Anybody? See that? The sun was shining. How many know that at midnight tonight it's going to be dark outside? It's because it's faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. Right? That's what happens. He is faithful. That's who He is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful. Therefore, we ought to be faithful. His Spirit is in us. We ought to demonstrate His faithfulness because the Spirit of God is in us. It's the fruit that should be manifested throughout our lives. So if He's faithful, we should be faithful.
Amen.
How many appreciate the fact that when you walked into church this evening, that the building was still here?
Amen.
That the lights were on. There would be chairs to sit on. There would be someone to lead prayer, sing songs, play music,
Amen.
Preach. That the bathrooms would be clean.
Amen.
That's faithfulness.
Amen.
You didn't have to worry, well, who's going to preach? You knew that, hey, somebody was going to preach. Pastor, Brother Bonham, Brother Drozic, somebody was going to preach. You knew that the lights, hey, the lights were going to be turned on because hopefully we paid the bill, which we are. We're being good stewards. But the lights are going to be on, preventing any blackouts, anything of that nature. That's called faithfulness. You go to work. You put in your time. You expect a paycheck. On Friday, right? That's called faithfulness. One too many times of that happening and not getting a paycheck, there's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Conversations are having, and either you or them decide, well, this is not working out. Time to go. Fix it, right? Because you want faithfulness. Because the bills come, whether you have money or not, you got to pay the bills. And you worked and you expect a paycheck. Same thing with the Lord. He gives life. He wants relationship. He gives us the Holy Ghost. He forgives us of our sins. We ask things for things. He answers. That's faithfulness.
Amen.
He expects us to be faithful in everything that we do. But first and foremost, He wants us to be faithful to Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 You pray. You ask God for forgiveness. You repent. And guess what? He forgives. Because He's faithful. He doesn't say, well, Brother Drozic, I'm using Brother Drozic as an example. Well, Brother Drozic used up all his forgiveness for the year, you know? No. Well, you know, Dr. Walker, just an example. Well, you know, he didn't ask in time. Should have came and asked for forgiveness before 2 o'clock. I used up all my forgiveness for the whole day already. No. He forgives.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Because some of us treat people that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yep.
Three strikes and you're out. Kind of, I'm already on the schedule 3 times this week. I'm calling out because my next door neighbor's friend's cousin's cat maybe is sick. So I'm going to send Sister Savannah a lame excuse because I'm just too lazy to get out of bed and they can find someone else. That's not faithfulness.
No.
Well, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from some unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness, if the musicians would come. God is eternally reliable. He's steadfast. He's unwavering. Because faithfulness is who He is.
Yeah. Amen.
We sing that song. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Reaping the harvest God promised me. Because he's faithful.
Yes.
God doesn't have to work to be faithful. That's just who he is.
Right.
We need to be faithful.
Yeah.
Notice Psalms 89 and 8. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? And then I quoted it earlier, Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we're going to be followers of him,
right,
we need to be faithful.
Amen.
If we are filled with his Spirit, we need to be faithful. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
Right.
The flesh doesn't want to be faithful.
No, it doesn't.
The flesh doesn't want to go to work. It just wants to get a paycheck. Or the flesh wants to work from 10 to 2 every day. Right? Real talk. You know? Somebody said amen over here. Praise God. Somebody's honest. Amen. Right? Faithful doesn't want to come to church on Wednesday and you haven't had time to go home and freshen up and eat dinner and you're tired. But the flesh doesn't. But faithfulness says, I don't have to go. I get to go and I want to go. I need a midweek fill up. I need to talk to the Lord. I need an encouragement. I need to give my needs and bear my burdens to the Lord. I'm faithful. Faithfulness doesn't want to roll out of bed at 8:30 and get here at 9 o'clock for music practice or whatever time you get here and then come back again at 5 o'clock. Flesh doesn't want to do that. But faithfulness says, I'm going to do it because I do it all for the glory and honor of the Lord. And I'm going to be a blessing to the Lord and he's going to bless me. I'm using my skill and my talent unto the Lord. It's something the Lord has given me. Faithfulness. As we stand tonight, I'll pick up faithfulness next time. But this fruit ought to always be in season. We got so much we can talk about, say, complain, remember. But man, somebody said it here behind the pulpit this evening. We truly are blessed.
We are.
So much blessings. If you never got any more than you have today, right now, in any area of your life, you're still blessed. Think about that. Well, I only have one car. You know, there's a lot. I'm not even going there. I ate one time today. I didn't get to get Starbucks. Still blessed. Either we're Christians or we're not. Either we're filled with the Spirit or we're not. Either he's done so much for us or he hasn't. But his mercies are renewed every day. If you're here tonight and you're not filled with God's Spirit, I invite you to come to this altar and we'll pray for you. If you're here and you're filled with the Spirit but you're struggling with some things, talk to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's find a place to pray. If you're here tonight and everything is awesome, you haven't made it yet. Would you come to the altar? Would you find a place to pray? Sister Ellen blesses us with song. Come one, come all. And let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling.
God, I want to be faithful.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well?
Jesus
is calling. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Faithful.
Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst
goodness
for a drink from the well? Jesus
kindness
is calling.
Faithfulness, gentleness.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
Are we not kind?
Was bought with.
Are we only good on Sundays?
blood of Jesus.
Are we only
Christ
faithful when we want something?
Come to the altar, the Father's arms
are open. I want to be good because He's good.
Forgiveness.
I want to be kind and gentle because He's kind and gentle.
With the precious
I'm going to be faithful because He's faithful.
Jesus Christ.
We all got to do better. We all can do better in every category.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Jesus.
Come today, there's no reason to wait.
Jesus
is called.
Faithful.